Tonight I want us to look at God's giving never gives up. God's giving never gives up. Now, the older that we become, the more mature in life and the more mature in Christ we truly understand His hand on our life and truly do know that He never gives up. We are proof that God still loves us is we're still here. The proof that He's never given up on us, we still are looking to hear from Him through His Word and through His Holy Spirit. God gave us His Son for our eternal life. Now, remember, you have a choice. The choice is eternal life with Jesus Christ or eternally dying but never able to die without Jesus. Again, remember that. When people say, well, you die and they go to hell and it is over, it is separation from God. Again, back up to when God created man. Man was created never to die. Never to die. So it was never an intent of God. God knew what was going to happen. But we were created in the image of God that we would live eternally. So even during the process of Adam and Eve, many people say, well, he didn't know what Adam and Eve was going to do. You know, isn't it foolish when you listen to people say, well, God didn't know that, or do like I did the other day, I was looking at the History Channel on how the earth made man. The whole world is messed up, but the sad thing is a lot of Christians are messed up concerning the world. God gave His Son for our eternal life. Eternal life doesn't begin when you leave this body. Eternal life began when you became a person. Do it this way also. Eternal life began when God knew you before you were ever created by God. Now, that goes far beyond anything you and I can understand. But one thing about it that I love is that nobody has been able to figure God out. Isn't that great? I know a lot of people that serve a God, and they've got that God figured out. They know that if they set their God out there as made of clay or made of wood or made of something else, they're going to have to take him in at night because the weather is going to hurt. Now, you and I serve a God who truly is the creator of all. But He says at His creation will never end. Now, if you'll think about that, also focusing on His creating continually. A creation is a continual process. When you and I step out of this body and step in the realm of eternity, it's as though we didn't, our heart didn't skip a beat. Our spiritual heart, I guarantee it never skips a beat. And as we step into eternity, we step into the realm of God, to the realm of glory, to continue eternally. Some I've heard talk about, yeah, but it, you know, the boring part and all of this other of heaven, because all they talk about, when you read the scripture, preacher, all I see in there that forever and ever they're going to be praising God. And I said, that's correct. But I said, did you read a little further also and notice that as they would come into the presence of God, each time they would come into the presence of God that they worshiped? I said, did you ever stop to think about if they came into the presence of God personally into His realm, where'd they go and come back from? Where are they going? What are they doing? It is the beginning of, you and I are told in Scripture that we are to count it as though we are already there. Therefore, we understand eternity. When you think of living, quit thinking about living focused on this world only. Why, our citizenship is out of this world. We do have a dual citizenship. But the one citizenship that I really focus on is that is in heaven in the realm of God. But because God gave me a citizenship here on earth, then I am to be the citizen that God has called me to be down here on earth. John 3:16 through 7 and 17. Listen to it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It has never been a point or period in the mind of God to destroy. It was always to build up, always to give opportunity. The destruction that will take place with us will be self-imposed. The judgment that the individual without Christ will face, the greatest witness against that individual is the individual. Your own sins have led you astray. Your own sins condemn you as to where you are or where you're even going. God's giving love goes far beyond our human understanding. Anybody doubt that? The supreme God of the universe chose to give up his only Son before he would give up on us. Let me read it again. The supreme God of the universe chose to give up his only Son before he would give up on us. Doesn't that tell us something? Okay, Romans 8:32-33. He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. Now, do y'all notice how I separated your words in that next sentence, in that sentence? Okay, let's look at it. But delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him? Meaning now he, God the Father, with his Son, who is now with him, also freely give us all things. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Okay, when you said yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you are classified as the elect of God. Now, once you are the elect of God, God says that no charge can even be brought in his presence against you. No charge can be brought in his presence against you. That also means that for those individuals who keep telling others, I don't want to have to step over that board of sin to get through the gate. And I have heard that so many years. Y'all remember when they used to say, that's going to be right there. That sin will be right there at the gate, and it'll keep me out. And I knew that was wrong when I was hearing it as a kid. I knew that was not possible. But people think that the board of sin will keep you out of heaven. Those folks who do not know Jesus Christ will not be at that gate. It's another gate. They will not be at that gate. And those who are at that gate are ushered in after we've been polished up. You've heard me tell that many times. Polished up by Jesus. And then we are ushered into eternally glorifying God through the work that we will do throughout eternity. Hard for people to understand that our ministry on earth or our walk on earth is purely boot camp for eternity for the Christian. Sometimes I know in the Marine Corps you'd get set back. You get set back for many things. I dug that sand flea out of my ear at that time. I thought they was going to send me on to be with the Lord right then. Think of it. God says, once you belong to me, there'll be no setback. There'll be nothing that will hinder you. Christians, you and I need to understand, really do, that God's love is so strong for us. He is not looking for us to do things. He is not looking for us to show him what a good Christian we are. He's looking for us to love him. Many people say, well, you know, when you believe in once saved, always saved, that means you can go out and do anything that you want and still go to heaven. Well, the fact is, an individual who's accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they can never be separated from Him. But you and I don't want to do it because we grow in our love toward Him. When you love someone, you do not want to do any harm to them. Now, whether you believe this or not, you have to work at loving each other. It is not easy being married. It is not easy staying married. It is not easy dealing with personalities backwards and forwards, period, within families. God says, it's not easy for you to get to heaven. My son took care of the hard part. But you, when you say yes to him, but how many people refuse to accept Jesus because they say that's too simple? Well, if it's so simple, why can't they accept him? If it's too simple, yeah. It's the simplicity of the gospel that confounded the religious leaders. Now, think of this one. Are any of us the 1 in 10, as in Jesus' account of the 10 lepers, who will even give thanks to the Lord for all he has given to us? Who will even give thanks? We get all of these things so often. The Lord is called upon when we're in trouble. When a Christian slips and falls, when a Christian's really hurting, saying, well, we must pray. So get on our knees and pray. Whatever became of a Christian glorifying God and giving praise to God because we got it so good? Maybe we've had it so good in the United States of America for so long that God says, if you won't thank me, I'll turn you over to yourself. Now, that's a horrible person to turn you over to, isn't it? Do you know that you'll be harder on you than even the Lord is? Do you realize that a Christian, an individual, does more to harm themselves and suffers more than any punishment that could be given to them? You know, I've been so bad and walked away from the Lord. There's no way that he can love me. So I'm not going to get back to him. Oh, well, one day we will. Luke 17:12-19. As he entered a village there, this is the story on the 10 lepers. As he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance. Remember why they had to stand at a distance? You remember what they had to cry out at all the time? Unclean, unclean, continually. Wasn't just the lepers. It was anybody with any illness or anything had to do that, stand at a distance. Crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, this again representing all those, which were the Gentiles too, all those who've stood at a distance to see the grace that God had shown to Israel, that was his chosen people, and told them, you take the grace, you take the message to the Gentiles. They said, no, we're going to keep it in the Jewish nation. And that's when you see the church age ushered in by God. As he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priest. Okay, now, after that sentence, I want you to pay attention to the next first part. And as they went, the faith is in the winning, the going. The faith is in as they went. Another example of that. He turned the water into wine. Remember, it didn't turn the water into wine when it was in the big tubs. That was what they used to wash their hands with. But when they took a dipper and took out the water in the dipper, as the servant went, the scripture says, God turned the water into wine. If you go back to the jug, it's still water. So the servant who would go, the one who would step out in faith, then because of that faith of stepping out, then the cleansing comes, or it's the trust in God. So as that servant, I remember I did a study on that. The servants were the only ones. Even the master of the house, the servant, and Jesus was the only ones who knew about the water being turned into wine. All the rest of the guests thought it was just the homeowner had been so gracious to save the best wine to last. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Again, it's always in the going. As you step out, Peter, get out of the boat. As he stepped out, he walked on water. When he looked at the world or storms of life, he started to sink. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, they're walking along going to the priest. Why did they have to go to the priest? I'm going to tell you why they did. They had to get the blessing that they were truly cured. And Jesus was telling them, you walk to the priest. Wasn't that that it was going to be able to do anything for them? That as they went, they would be healed. And when they got there, they wanted to be declared healed. Why would they care whether the priest knew it or not? That was their social security. That was the church took care of folk in need and made sure that everybody was fed. Okay, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. The Samaritans were classified as despicable human beings to the Jews. They was nothing to them. Remember the other story Jesus told about the Good Samaritan? Always were classified as despicable, and it seems like these guys are the only ones that's showing up to give praise to God. Notice again, he's telling the Jewish nation, this is why I have come, that whosoever will, let them come. He's trying to explain this to his nation that he loves so well. They refuse to take the gospel. So we have the church age, and if the church age, or when the church age, ceases to proclaim this truth, it will be over. He fell to the ground, Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked. Again, every time Jesus asks something, he does it to teach the ones that are around. He does it for a purpose. When he would ask someone or have someone said, you know, or he spits on the dirt and turns it into mud and puts it in the eye. Well, why did he have to do that to do that? He didn't have to do it. He did it so that all those around would know that it is from God the Father. It was an example for them, showing them and teaching them. He was always the preacher and always the teacher. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? I can picture everybody out there that was around him saying, yep, you did. And Jesus says, where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God? Excuse me, except for this foreigner. Okay, Jesus taught his disciples and all those who would listen, I have never spoken a word that Father God, my Father God, did not give me. So as they had heard this, hadn't they? They came back, listen to what he says, and even the Samaritan, has no one returned to give glory except for this foreigner. Didn't I heal 10? 9 comes back. And Jesus said to the man after that, again, and I missed something here. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? The healing that has taken place to the Jewish nation and to the America and all since our founding, and all of those who would ever follow Christ, every time there has been corruption that breaks down, it'll be corruption in the churches that eventually destroy the church age. And it will continue to be destruction of people who walked away. God blessed them, but instead of giving thanks to God, they were more excited about, if you've never seen a person with leprosy, It'd be difficult for you to understand it, but their whole face is nothing but almost mucus. You know, the parts of their body are so deformed, so sickening that you would. That's why they wrap their heads. It is, and the odor that come from them would be so great that people didn't want them around. And Jesus dove right in the middle of them every time. And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." Only one did Jesus say that to. He told 10, "Go to the priest and show them." The one turns, the only one, and Jesus says, I think in the Greek on that, you are now complete. It is a completeness of who you are now. And Jesus says that to him. That means the other nine weren't complete. They might have got a healing, but for how long? So that's where we as Christians need to be looking at our life. As a Christian, I'm healed. I'm healed from what? I'm healed from the idea or destruction of even going to hell. The healing came through Christ. Yes, ma'am.
So would it be the same as to say that that one leper was saved?
Same thing. Many will come forward at a big revival. All that come forward are not saved. Many will. What about the 5,000? They were there to eat. Yeah, and they wanted a meal, you know. And then after that, the crowd followed him. The scripture says they followed him because they were ready to eat. He'd turn a few more, multiply a few more fish and a little more bread. Wouldn't even any sense of walking any further. Just sit there. And
so the other nine were Jews?
Yeah, evidently. He said only this one Samaritan. Yeah, he said just one. And think of that. That was his nation that turned his back. Again, when Jesus goes in for the last week, going into Jerusalem, and he looks and he weeps at Jerusalem from the hilltop, and then proclaims, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you under my wings like a chick, like a mother gathers the chicks," or something on it. And yet you would not have it. Okay. Yeah. If the people who reject Christ, Christ will touch the heart of whosoever and whosoever believes. And then he sends us to work. If we will not even give thanks to the Lord, then we most certainly will not give anything else. And the question is, are you giving to the Lord? Do we remember all he has given to us? Let's refresh our memory a little bit here about a few additional things the Lord has given to us. Here they are. Colossians 1, 12 through 14. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, we got qualified here, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us, see that one, from the power of darkness and conveyed or rescued us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. See, our salvation is a rescuing automatically into the kingdom, meaning you're already there. You're already there. And you say, "I don't understand that." Good. I'm glad you don't, because you preachers sure don't have a shot at it. In whom we have redemption, how? Through His blood. The forgiveness of sins. Now, Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west. The east from the west is the farthest distance. They never touch. If I keep going east, I'm going to keep going east. People said, "Well, no, won't you go around the earth?" He's not talking about the earth, people. He's talking about the universe. He's talking about all of creation. You're not going to go around the creation period. East is from the west. So far has he removed our transgressions from us. Only ones that will not see heaven are those who are guilty of transgressing against God Almighty. And the greatest of commandments, love. Perhaps we should look at our personal giving practices just a little closer in comparison with God's. When I talk about giving, you all know that it doesn't deal with giving finance. Sure it does. But the main thing, I know a lot of people that were wealthy that just give money to a church and said, no, I'm not taking any chances. So I'm giving without taking the chances. Well, sadly, a lot of times some pastors will not correct them on that and leave it alone because they don't want to lose the money. That's not true, folks. What we must understand is this. The giving is the giving of all of who we are, our heart. The giving is, will I give time? The most precious commodity that God has given you is your time. And the closer we get to the end of our time, the more we realize, that's precious. Yes, it is. One more day, or as Lovell would have said, one more year. Here's what he gave us. He gave us his son. Sorry, folks. He freely gives us all things. He justified us. He redeemed us. He healed us. He qualified us for his inheritance. But we haven't had much to do with anything there, have we? He delivered us from what? The power of evil. Nowhere in the scripture will you see that we are delivered from evil. As long as you're on this earth, you will be surrounded by evil. You will be surrounded with temptation. And everybody will have different temptations. Whatever the temptation will be the temptation that pulls you farther from Christ as a Christian. He delivered us from the power of evil, meaning that the power, evil does not have the power. Satan cannot come in and say, okay, Vance, I'm zapping you out of this world and taking you with me. No, Jesus killed his power. You and I need to accept the fact that Jesus is still in control. He conveyed or rescued us into his kingdom. I thought you all would like that last page so you could, that's a study within itself, isn't it? He forgave us for all forever. one question on that one time on my stance, and I know many believers' stance, that you mean to tell me that he forgave sins past, present, and future? Are you saying that? And I said, I am quoting what the Bible says. And yes, I believe. But now, if that's not the way it is, would it not be better for me or for you at the point to wonder we have been on our knees, accept Christ as Lord and Savior of our life, knowing we're going to heaven, would it not be better that we would go ahead and die right then than to live longer and commit a sin and be sent to hell? Wouldn't that be better? One preacher said that I'd practice that six-gun religion. If I really believed that a person once saved, lost, then it would behoove me as a man of God, as soon as they said yes to Jesus, to send them on home to the kingdom. And he said, that makes about as much sense as people out there saying that what has been given to God can be lost. What God has and what you and I gave him is the love that he had placed in our heart. It all belongs to him to begin with, and I guarantee you ain't nobody going to mess with him on that one. And he forgave us all forever, so what are we giving back to the Lord? That's the question. Folks, the giving back is not the idea of the quantity. It's the idea of the love of the heart in the process of the giving.